So good morning. I forgot to pass out some handouts, whatever you call those. So I'll be walking around passing these out in honor of Bill Hill. You can stand 6 feet away and wave at people and make them feel uncomfortable and say hello. Nice to meet you. Good to see you. Unless you don't want to. Yeah, we can't shake hands. I really only have about 10 minutes of message, so I'm trying to buy some time. I'm just kidding. So before we get going, I just want to remind everybody that Lake Singletary is next weekend. So if you think you're even kind of still on the fence and haven't gotten a handout, if you could just give me a little hand wave so that I can make sure everybody's got one. Let's make sure Sarah gets one because I think she's cooking. You got one? If anybody else needs an extra bed, the Watleys are bringing their RV. I think it sleeps four. You can plug in your CPAP machine. That's everybody. The old people, yeah. All right, so just kind of a quick plug. We would love for you guys to come join us on Friday night or Saturday next week. If you don't want to do overnight, I know we're all not excited about sleeping in these amazing bunk houses that don't have real windows. It could be either really hot or really cold. It just kind of depends on the weather. But that's kind of the fun. You never know what to expect. So I would highly recommend bringing or dressing in layers. Because the last I looked at the forecast, it's going to be almost in the 50s at night, but the upper 80s by Saturday afternoon. The good news is there's a lake that I think we're going to be able to swim in. Still trying to figure out some of the logistics because we've heard the piers closed. That's part of one of the games that we're going to play is collecting alligators. So matter of fact, these are the teams. We're going to split the rooms up. Evie's over here, so I'm going over on his side. Wait, Jason's over here. Oh, I'm torn. These are our hunters. Let's see. So one of the games is a scavenger hunt, and one of the things you got to find is a live alligator and bring it back to camp on a leash. Usually we lose one or two kids that way. So if you have any kids you want to get rid of, bring them. You guys notice we haven't seen EB Jr. in a while? I'm just saying. So peruse through that. We are asking that it be, if you can, please donate $10 towards that. You can get that to Scott or myself. Do Venmo, PayPal, cash, or IOU. Just write that on a piece of paper and hand it to me. But $10 a person, or I think we decided 20 was a max for a family. So really that's just going to purchasing some of the food. And $20 for a family for three meals is ridiculously cheap. Not quite as cheap as Islands, but it's pretty close, and the food's going to be better. But we got some fun games and activities set up. It should be a fun time. Really excited about it. Hopefully Daniel's going to be there to go on the annual, semi-annual night walk. I think I brought this up 2 years ago, but one of my favorite memories of this church ever was walking through the woods. And I can't remember who was giving the night walk, but they were telling kind of a Lake Singletary ghost story. And then you just started hearing these noises about this werewolf in the woods. And sure enough, you turn around and there's Dennis Smith with this werewolf mask on running down the path at probably 30 little kids who are now running straight to the worst spot, which is the pier, to get away from him. But now you're cornered. It was ridiculous. Okay. Will, if we can incorporate that into the story somehow, we'll put a hammock up in the woods, and you can just be, like, sleeping in the hammock while we walk by. That would be pretty awesome. So if anybody is interested in hiding in the woods until about 11 o'clock at night on Friday to scare Daniel, I'd appreciate it. But don't bring any guns because it's a federal offense. That's true. Any questions, Will? Did I miss anything big that we need to talk about? There are going to be some people leaving Friday and coming back Friday and coming up Saturday morning. So if you, A, don't want to drive, B, don't want to spend the night, just reach out to me. I know some names of some people who are going to be making those trips multiple times, and we'll be finding you some rides. Making eye contact with the people who know what's happening to make sure we got everything. Watch out. All right, so if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. So most of you know that about 6 years ago, I decided to embark on a new process in life. Instead of picking a New Year's resolution, I try to find one word, one personality trait or characteristic trait to focus on for the year. And then I spend the rest of that year reading through scripture or looking through scripture to find hints, suggestions, guidelines on what that word looks like from a biblical standpoint. So I don't have any candy bars to give away, so I'm sorry. But who can remember any of my five words? Will.
Surrender.
Surrender was the first one. Thank you. Fellowship is the one that's this month. Thanks for jumping ahead, Greg. I should count on him to read the handout that I passed out 5 minutes ago. Leadership was one. That's three. There's two more. Meditation was last year, and one more the year before that. It rhymes with meditation. It starts with ed. Edification, good work. So in 2020, the Lord worked it out great because I'd picked the word meditation. That came out really handy for me because what happened at the very beginning of 2020? I got sent home from work. Now I've got to work from home. You may remember my message from last year. Anybody remember the ping pong ball activity out in the middle? And I had you write down words of things that were in between you and your relationship with the Lord. And we put them in this jug and we filled it up with the jug. And the jug being filled up with water was an example of us meditating on the things of the Lord. And if we're filling our mind with the things of the Lord, there isn't enough room for the stresses of life. So as we went through 2020, I really leaned on that pretty heavily because I'll be super honest, I was really depressed might even be the right word because you know I'm a social being and I'm used to being around 1,500 people at work every day. And then the only person who saw me was my wife, who was tired of me after day one. She's used to having the whole house to herself between 8 and 4. And now she's got an extra kid at home who needs lunch and back rubs and another Coke, those types of things. So stress and anxiety was building, so it was a perfect word for me in 2020. But as the year kept going, I just really still didn't feel myself until we started meeting together again. And once we started joining together, and somebody finally invited us over for dinner, and then we went to another friend's house, and next thing you know, we're almost kind of getting back into some of this fellowship that we'd been missing for several months. It was at that moment that I realized how important fellowship is to the body of Christ, and so in 2021, I picked the word fellowship. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 22, we see the first mention of fellowship in the New Testament. So there is a hermeneutical law called the law of first mention. And anytime you're trying to understand or do research or study a specific word or find a meaning, one of the hints in hermeneutical studies is to find the first meaning and then lean heavily on how it was used the very first time. And as you go through scripture, if you can't figure out what you think this word means, you can go back to that first meaning, and almost always it carries forward. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So you will remember this is just after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has descended. The church is now being introduced. And as the church is introduced, Acts 2:42 really is the foundation. Matter of fact, if you have one of our monthly bulletins, it is on the front bulletin, and it is what we would probably call like our purpose statement as the Wilmington Bible Chapel. It is on the front page of our website. Who's never been to the website? Just curious. No worries. You're forgiven. So what were they doing in the early church as it was being instigated or instituted? They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So this word fellowship here means, or is translated, koinonia. So hopefully you've heard that word before. Lots of churches like to steal that name or use that name in their title. You also see there's a band called Koinonia. There's a couple of ministries online. If you just search that word, Koinonia, you'll find it all over the place. Its root word is koinonias, which means common or mutual and public. It has a root word or other words such as fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, and intercourse. Typically, it means sharing in participation with. What's interesting is we don't really have an English word that fully encompasses everything that this word means. So as you read through the New Testament and you see this word koinonia, you might see it translated in many different ways. And we're going to show you a few of them in just a few moments. So I created my own working definition to help me throughout 2021 as I find this word throughout Scripture. And it is this: the active and intimate participation in a community that is brought together solely through Jesus Christ. The active and intimate participation in a community that is brought together solely through Jesus Christ. So over the last several months, as I've been studying this word, I've found there are several different types of fellowship. So this morning I wanted to kind of introduce to you some of these topics and what they look like. And then we'll come back at the end and kind of wrap it up by just spending a little bit more time on one of the different aspects. So on that note, Daniel, if you could read, well, we've already done Acts 2:42, so I'll give you a break. Jason, if you could do Philippians 1:3-5, these are all on your handout that I've given you. So please follow along. Okay, so we've already heard that the apostles were involved in fellowship as a body, but now we also see that there's a separate fellowship around the gospel. So remember what we learned for that working definition. It is an active and intimate participation in a community that is brought together solely through Jesus Christ around the gospel. So now let's take a look at the Spirit. Gary has Philippians 2:1-2. So we're getting some examples here of what the definition of fellowship looks like and some ways we have fellowship. One of the ways is fellowship of the Spirit. And what is some of those results? Like-minded, love, one accord. We also have fellowship in the Son, 1 Corinthians 1:9. Thank you. So not only do we have fellowship as a body, we have it in the gospel, we have it in Spirit and with the Son, but we also have it with the Father. Greg has that one, 1 John 1:3. Thank you. So we've got it in the church, the body, the gospel, the Spirit, the Son, and the Father. We also have it in Jesus' sufferings. So Ethan, Philippians 3:10. Thank you. And the last one is a little bit of a mystery. I thought that was going to kill. I guess we could start the bus. Ready to go. The mystery, Ephesians 3:8. EB. Thank you for sharing. Thank you all for reading. So we've got fellowship in the church, the gospel, the Spirit, the Son, the Father, sufferings, and mystery. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list, but these are just some of the ones that kind of stood out to me early, and I intend to go a little bit deeper as 2021 moves on. But this morning, I want to spend the rest of the time that we have together on that first one, which is kind of the point for me today, which is how when our church decided to start meeting back together, that had a substantial impact on me, both physically, mentally, and definitely spiritually. So let's talk a little bit more about how Acts 2:42 plays out. So we've already talked about how this is the beginning of the church, and we heard that they continued steadfastly. So what does continued steadfastly mean? It means devoted, being devoted. So the apostles were devoted to fellowship. So in my definition, as we combine those two together, here's what it would sound like. The early church was devoted to the active and intimate participation in a community that is brought together through Jesus Christ. Now, as we look at other denominations or other believers or even people in our own facility that are maybe even here today, a lot of us see church as a more of a come, be rejuvenated, maybe pray, ask for some things, ask for forgiveness, and then we go back to our lives. But as we read through what the apostles were devoted to, this fellowship, there's really some devotion and some action and some intimate communion that's taking place that doesn't happen if I come and visit and then I leave. There's some active participation happening. So what does this active and intimate participation look like? So we've got some examples. There are plenty throughout the Word of God, but I've just called out a few of them to kind of wrap your mind around some things that could be happening when fellowship is really happening or when we've devoted ourselves to fellowship. So Daniel, if you could read Romans chapter 12, verse 10, where we hear what fellowship and active intimate participation looks like when we talk about being affectionate and giving preference to one another. 1 Peter 3, 8, Jason, having compassion, being receiving, Romans 15, 7, Gary. Serve, Galatians 5, 13, Scott. Greg, be kind and compassionate, Ephesians 4, 32. Thank you. Anybody else seeing that as Greg reads that? That's just me. Let's move on. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. In 1 Peter 4, 9, we have hospitality, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And then 1 John 4, 7, we have love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows of God. In John 13, 45, what does Jesus tell the disciples? If you are having fellowship with one another, if you are loving one another, what is the world going to notice? That we are His. It says in John 13, 45 that they will know we are Christians by our love. Matter of fact, at the bottom of this page, I have some lyrics to a song that you may or may not know. I must confess, I was hoping Nancy would be here because I really didn't love Nancy as much as I should have in youth group. Nancy would have been a freshman when I was a senior, so I was too cool for school. And every time that somebody would say, let's sing some songs, Nancy would say, let's sing this song. So I grew up really not liking this song because of Nancy. So would you apologize to her on my behalf? The good news is it's very easy to play on a guitar and a ukulele. So I'm going to try to play it as my wife is going to lead us in this song. So you feel free to join us, especially if you know it. Sing loud so you don't have to hear us, or at least not me. Do you want to do it from there?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I got to open up the chords. Don't move. I was really disappointed that Josh isn't here, because if you guys don't know, I have this secret admiration for Josh. Please don't tell him. He's like slightly better at everything than I am, and it drives me nuts. And he's a lot better at some things. So once he learned how to play the uke, I was like, oh, I'm going to learn how to play this thing. So fortunately, my daughter asked for one for Christmas, so I've been practicing. I'm not that good yet, but one day he and I are going to do like dueling ukuleles. And if he's better, I may just hit him with it.
Thank you.
think I only messed up twice.
The good news about that song, it's literally two chords. That wasn't very hard. If you're thinking about playing the ukulele, it's actually quite easy. The chords are way less complicated than a guitar because there's only four strings instead of six. Six, eight, or 12. What? And way less than this piano with 188. Is that right? 188?
Sounds right.
All right, so turn with me to John chapter 15. Right, so that's kind of how a fellowship is supposed to look like. Our communion with each other, our intimate and devotion to one another, our like-mindedness should be so different than what the world provides that the world should see that and go, that's different, and I kind of want what that is. Matter of fact, I think there's a passage here in John 15 that I think sums up or is kind of a different type of look at fellowship, but kind of sums up what this process looks like in life. So the rest of the time I want to spend right here in John chapter 15. So I'm going to read the first 11 verses, and as I do, I want you to look for keywords or phrases that say things like one mind, one accord, abide, remain, things that kind of indicate that you are in fellowship with somebody and you're trying to stay there. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, but must remain in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as Jesus has loved me, I also have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So what's happening here in these first several verses? These disciples have fellowship. They've been having fellowship for the last couple of years with Jesus. And Jesus is telling them, remain in me. The disciples are about to go through some really tough time. And he is giving them the key to success. Love me and obey my commands. And what's verse 11 says? If we do these things, if we abide in him and remain in him and keep his commandments, our joy will be made full. So if anybody ever asks you the key to happiness, the key to life, how to find happiness in life, Jesus just told the disciples what it looks like right here. Walking with Jesus, having fellowship with him and his Father, and obeying his commandments. If we do those things, our joy will be made full. And if our joy has been made full, look what it can result in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Notice that Jesus tells us we need to abide with him and have fellowship with him. We can't even do verse 12 unless we've done verses 1 through 11. If we're abiding with him, if we're having fellowship with God the Father and God the Son, it will help us with verse 12, which is, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a person will lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, because all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name he may give you. This I command you, that you love one another. So we've got it bookmarked or bookended, love one another, and what's happening in the, in between. He's telling them that he has a special relationship with them. We're not slaves, we're friends. Or the disciples were not slaves, they're friends. And that he specifically chose them for a purpose, to bear fruit, and fruit that's going to last. So what does this look like? If I'm able to love you as Christ has loved me, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know it has hated me before it hated you. Well, why is the world going to hate us? I think through the illustration this morning, I've demonstrated, or hope to have demonstrated, the world's going to hate us because they're going to see that we're different and that we're joyous, that we've got relationships and intimate fellowship with one another, and they're going to be jealous of that, and they're going to hate that. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, I chose you out of the world, because this the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. If they followed my word, they will follow yours as well. So let's scroll down to verse 26. So we know that if we're demonstrating Christ's love to one another correctly, the world's going to hate us. So what does Jesus do? Verse 26, when the Helper comes, whom I'm going to send to you from my Father, namely the Spirit of truth, who comes from the Father, he will testify about me and testify, and you are testifying as well, because you have been with me from the beginning. So man, what amazing story I think this looks like from the word fellowship, or at least as much as I've been able to gather so far in 2021. The formula is this: you abide and walk with the Father because of what the Son's done. You mirror your love and fellowship with the Father based on how Jesus loved and had fellowship with us. If we remain there and obey his commandments, it's going to enable us to be able to love one another. And kind of joking, but really not, some of us are really hard to love. And it is only because we see this example of Jesus loving me at my lowest point that I'm able to love you, and that you're able to love me. It's easy to love somebody that's kind and appreciative and likes me and enjoys hanging out, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. But because Jesus did the same for us, we follow that example, we obey his commandments, and we have the power to love one another. And what's going to happen when we do that? The world's going to hate us. But don't fear, because Jesus has a plan, and he's already sent his Holy Spirit to give us the strength and the power and the wisdom to know how to do that and to be with us as the world continues to hate us. This is really challenging for me because I've got a lot of very worldly friends, and none of them hate me. So as I go through these verses, I'm like, man, what does that say about me and my relationship? Am I not demonstrating what true fellowship looks like? Am I not really walking in the commandments of the Lord? Because as I read these verses, I don't necessarily feel hated. But as I spend too much time on the news, social media, you can see in America that trend is starting to change. And I expect we'll see a lot more of this very thing happening. So what's the key to that success? It starts with us and our love for each other that only comes from our relationship with Jesus and his Father and our fellowship to them. And Jesus, or the Father, has sent the Spirit to enable us to do that. So my word for 2021 is fellowship. So far, that's kind of some of the things that have been on my mind lately. As I embark on this word, I hope to get a little bit deeper into what fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Spirit looks like. So next time we'll dive a little bit deeper into that. But for now, let's go ahead and close. Father God, we thank you for an opportunity to open your word and jump into it and really kind of see what you have for us. We thank you for sending your Son to be that example of what true fellowship looks like and what true obedience looks like. We thank you for his active and intimate participation in his fellowship with you and his obedience to love all the way to the cross. It's in his name we give thanks and ask for help as we look for ways to have fellowship and be like-minded with one another so that the world sees us and is jealous of what we have. It's in his name we give thanks. Amen.